Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Streaming away. Michael Irvin's going to be, by the way, this is like, can we not like just adjust this? Can we get the, can we get a Phillips head, not even a Phillips head, like a normal screwdriver to just tighten this? Can we just tighten this? Seriously. Is there any way to tighten this? We knew we were going to be using this studio today, right? No one came in here to check if this thing wasn't. It's seriously, this microphone needs Viagra is what I'm saying.
Ew.
Cialis, a little something there. Microphone's dick needs to be harder. We're on the stream.
Look, do what you always do. Hold it.
Yeah, okay. There we go. I can do that. It's a cruel game, Ray.
Well?
I'm not talking about the football game. I'm talking about radio. It's a cruel game. You know what I have?
Oh, no.
I'm pulling this thing up. No, I can't because then it's attached to the mic arm.
You're screwed, pal.
Really? See, no one got this screwed. I mean, we didn't even look at this today.
No, clearly not.
Look at that. How am I supposed to work with that?
You're not.
Come on.
You know, we could always go home.
We will soon enough.
See, you're hanging in there.
Michael Irvin.
You're being very resilient.
He's going to join us at 4:30 today to talk about the fact that sports can be cruel, man. And football is honestly, it's the cruelest game of them all. When it ends, it ends. I mean, it ends real fast. And unfortunately, it wasn't a real fast ending for the 49ers, though. I mean, that was just a death by a million different things yesterday. And it was brutal. Absolutely brutal to lose like that. Every single number that could crash the Niner game plan went against them. Every call that could go against them went against them. And I'm not turning this into a complaining about the officials show. I'm not. But that was also, I mean, let's be completely honest. That was a terrible day of NFL officiating. Both games. Both games were officially, atrociously officiated football games. They were just, and how do you improve it? That's got to be the number one offseason. Here comes Lucas with the screwdriver. God bless you, Lucas.
I got three of them.
You got three of them. So we need just give me a flat guy. This one, right over here. Just I want to just see if I can tighten this up a little. Go ahead, Ray Van.
So while Bob the Builder is busy fixing his microphone, since you raised officiating, we say this every year about the NFL has to do something to address its officiating problem, and they never do. So why would you think that's going to change this time?
Well, I mean, because it would be in the best interest of the league that is now so in bed with gambling that to create this element of constant confusion or questioning the integrity of the game is no longer a place where they can do their shopping.
They were in bed with gamblers last year, and they were in bed with gamblers the year before, and it never occurs to them to care about officiating. They didn't do anything the year that New Orleans got hosed. And New Orleans got hosed way worse than either the 49ers or the Bengals did.
Well, I mean, because you can boil it all down to one play that New Orleans got hosed on.
But
that was so definitively a hosing.
Okay, but nevertheless, a hosing is a hosing. And the fact is, the NFL doesn't care about its officiating. They just figured, we're putting out a product. People are going to watch it no matter whether these guys are good or not. So why throw any more money at this particular problem? I mean, that's the message that they've sent. And they've sent it over and over and over again.
Why would they? So what's the good in not fixing it?
There is no good in not fixing it except that it would cost them money. that they can't recoup.
But it's pennies.
No, it doesn't matter.
Pennies of NFL dollars. You're investing in your product.
True, but they don't review that as part of their product. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm saying they ought to be doing this. But every year, it's the same lament. And every year, nothing changes. So why would you think they would change it now? They don't want to spend any money if they don't have to. They're in charge of taking in money.
Here's the deal, too. I don't want to spend a lot of money unless I have to. But if you're telling me I can make something wrong right for a dime, I got a dime for that. I mean, we're talking about a dime. We're talking about a tenth of 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 a percentage.
I get what you're saying, but they don't do it. So what's the reason? Do they like games being poorly officiated? What I'm suggesting to you is they don't care how they're officiated.
Well, what I'm suggesting...
Nobody's refusing to watch the product because of it.
They must like the noise. Or they must have done enough market research to determine that noise is as good as agreement. Or it's worth more. To have people screaming about outcomes is worth more to this league than everyone agreeing that was a fair and balanced game and it ended correctly.
And I'm suggesting that it's probably less than that. I think it's just... they don't care. We got the money already in. We're going to keep making money because our ratings don't go down. We get more for our rights every year. This is not a problem for us. I think that's how they view it. It's not about the noise. It's not about, oh, this will help fill in the gaps, you know, during Super Bowl week. I think they just look at it as something they don't care about because they don't have to. And it's the same reason why Major League Baseball doesn't fix its umpiring issues. And it's why the NBA doesn't fix its umpiring issues.
At least Major League Baseball is beginning to tinker on some levels.
But they tinker on stuff all the time. And most of the time when they tinker, they actually make things worse. It's that the one thing that makes officiating better, the two things actually, one is a simplified rule book, and two, it is increased training for officials. The fact is, none of the leagues do any of that. I mean, they do lip service just so they can replace guys that retire. But most of the time, they just go, well, who's a good guy in college that I saw? Oh, yeah, there was a guy in the Sun Belt. I really kind of liked him.
You know what I think we should really do? If you're asking me, like, so, yeah, I mean, you haven't asked, but, like, how would we begin solving some officiating problems here? I would make the college rule book and the NFL rule book identical rule books. With a same identical game flow. We don't need time, you know, stopped clocks on every first down in college anymore. The games are taking way too long. And just use college as a feeder service, pardon me, for officials, the same way that the NFL uses college for feeder service for their players. I mean, just use that as your farm system.
Then you'd have to convince the people who run college football, which is basically the SEC and the Big Ten, who operate as independent, you know, imperial fiefdoms, to change their rules for somebody else. Because what you're talking about is an NFL problem in which college football is supposed to solve it for them. When in fact...
Well, where else are you supposed to train officials?
What I'm saying is, if you want a standardized rule book, it's either got to be the college rule book or the NFL rule book. And the NFL rule book's not going to change for college. You have to get the college people to change for the NFL.
Well, now the college has basically admitted we're no longer an amateur act. Like, I mean, college has officially admitted that. So you might as well adopt the professional style of play.
But
go along with the professional athletes that you are essentially employing.
Okay, and what I'm saying is the politics of that among college people is, why should we sublimate ourselves? We're a pro league now, too. Why should we sublimate ourselves to their rules? And that's a cynical statement. It's not I've solved your problem for you. Because I think, yeah, the rule book should be standardized. Games should not take 3 hours and 45 minutes the way they do in college. But the NFL is better at doing programming than they are at doing game adjudication. And they have been forever. Because they're not interested in doing anything other than get the game over in 3 hours because we have another game coming up right after that.
In terms of programming, we need to get Rob Gronkowski off any and all pregame anything. Like, the Yo Soy, do not Fiesta. Get him off. He's terrible. He's awful. He brings nothing to the table.
No, the only guy that brings anything to the table now is Greg Olsen, and he's about to get shoved aside for Tom Brady.
Unless the Niners.
We
get you two more years of Greg Olsen. And here's the thing. Not only could the Niners get a quarterback, but we get better broadcasts if that indeed happens. Greg Olsen was fantastic, by the way. I actually wrote some things down about Greg Olsen.
Yeah. But speaking of that, Tony Romo's jumped the shark.
Oh, my God.
He's done.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. He was good when he knew the players, he knew the coaches, and he knew the league. He is, what, 6-7 years out of the league now, which means the entire league is turned over, and he is not telling you what's about to happen. His eyes are not keyed on the play. He is basically rooting for Jim Nance.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. In fact, you put it better than I could. He's unlistenable already. His shelf life was about 5 years, because this started like 2 years ago. Once he started to get the Corona ads, and he goes, oh, my God, I'm a conglomerate. Now he's just horrible. I mean, and not just mediocre. I mean, there are guys in this league who you wouldn't even think of who are infinitely better than him. He might be among the worst. And he's not going to get any better. He's done.
Well, and he's not working. I mean, that man is just not preparing. He is playing more rounds of golf than he is spending any time getting ready to break down the game that he's about to – he's not even in the pronunciation guide.
No, that's not none of it. He's profoundly not good. And when Brady comes along, and he might next year, maybe the year after, who knows? He's not going to prep for this stuff either.
Oh, here's the thing. Like, Tom Brady is that sort of maniacal seeker of perfection that I wouldn't put it past him to, if he starts slow, to catch up really fast, or even really be good day one.
I think he's going to get into cruise control as quickly as possible, because he doesn't look upon broadcasting as anything other than a payday.
I don't. But here's the thing: how could we know how he looks upon it when we haven't listened to a single thing yet? We don't know.
You're prejudging. I am
what
prejudging,
he might be. And there's zero evidence that Tom Brady has mailed in anything in his life other than the last 12 months of his marriage.
Well, there's one. That's kind of an important example. But no, I don't think he wants to be a broadcaster. It's just a way to make $385 million over 10 years until he moves on to the next thing. I mean, I don't think he ever viewed broadcasting as a thing he wanted to do until Fox shoved so much money at him that he couldn't say no. If I'm projecting, I apologize. But I'm projecting on that side rather than the man. He's going to be insightful and hard bitten, and like he's really going to advance the game.
Who knows? Who would have ever realized that you'd be great on radio?
I'm not. I suck.
But paired with Jim Nance, you're serviceable.
Jim Nance, I would still suck. My suck can overcome anything.
No. I've made you a hell of a broadcaster here, Ray. You don't even understand the way I've imprinted myself upon you. The coaching has been that hands-off that you haven't even felt it. That's great coaching, by the way.
I don't know that you've ever been more full of crap than you are right now.
So what Greg Olsen said about the RPO, what I thought was his best statement of the entire day, when he said, what makes the Philly RPO, what it does to great players, they take a 4-5 linebacker like Fred Warner, and they make him play 4-7. The offense creates hesitation. And I just thought that was such an illuminating way to describe the danger of the RPO, because it's always basically been you know, pretty much left in the, well, there's ball trickery. There's deception in between the quarterback and the running back, and that trickery alone is where the magic happens. The magic actually is happening in the reaction to the trickery.
Yeah, it's in the trying to do two things at the same time, because one of them's going to be wrong.
Well, and did you know the play I'm talking about, where Fred Warner is literally flat-footed for two solid human heartbeats, and Fred Warner doesn't play flat-footed for any human heartbeats?
No, because that's the thing, is there's RPOs and what the Eagles do with their RPO. The Eagles are far better. It's one of the reasons why they went 16-3 this year, because they run the RPO better than anybody else. Because they have the tools to run it better than anybody else. That's the thing. When you have a running quarterback, He also has to be an accurate passer to make this work. And Jalen Hurts is accurate. I mean, you didn't see the numbers yesterday, but you didn't have to. The fact is, they made the 49ers play on their heels. And nobody makes the 49ers play on their heels.
Oh, just totally sucks that the Niners had to, one, play the catch-up game that you know that they're going to be uncomfortable in just based on they don't like playing from behind. Who does? You know, other than Patrick Mahomes, he's comfortable with it. They didn't get to show the entire football world who they were. Not for a minute. And had Brock Purdy played the entirety of the game, I'm not saying they win the game even, but it's as much of a tight game as I think the AFC game was. I really do. It's in question in the fourth quarter. Anybody's game in the fourth quarter is a good way, I think, in my mind, to look at that, because as good as that Eagles offensive line was, it didn't blow holes open in the Niners defense that made yards per play, rushing yards per play, passing yards per play, anything that is a, well, you're not going to be able to deal with that level of statistic. Not all day. I mean, they were gifted field position and a one-dimensional offense to play with through. How many snaps did the 49ers run yesterday?
45
plays. So 39 of them were dead on arrival if Purdy got knocked out of the sixth play of the game. But 39 plays, easy for a defense to just sit on.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's why that game got so nuts, Ray.
But it became nuts pretty quickly because Purdy was being harassed in the six plays he did have. I mean, they
not got, to the point where it led to an incompletion.
No, but in terms of having to hurry, I mean, he didn't look comfortable there.
Well, they were just getting the ball out fast. I mean, that's the thing. That was designed to get the ball out fast. The one play that he got blown up on was a play action.
Okay, but the fact is, he got controlled early, so he wasn't ever comfortable, even with the four completions. And when he got hit, that's because the pass protection collapsed completely. I mean, I just don't know how the Eagles were ever going to be deterred from doing whatever they wanted, even with Purdy in the game.
Michael Irvin's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about the game with him, obviously. Looking forward to that conversation. We always look forward to talking to Michael. I want to get back, though, to something that you said when we were on the terrestrial side of the broadcast today, where do you think the Niners got tight? Do you think Shanahan gripped in that one harder than maybe had he not? You know, like, I mean, I don't know what Shanahan was supposed to do to fix the problem that was delivered to him.
But that's my point.
But some timeouts for Josh Johnson, I think, would have been really important.
Might have been a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, though.
Might have been.
No, the reason why I asked the question was not because I thought Shanahan gripped. I thought he was presented with a series of problems in a hurry that no coach would have been able to deal with. And so there was sort of indecision, right? Okay, what do we do now when you have actually no quarterback? I don't know that Andy Reid could have saved that. I don't know that Bill Belichick could have saved that. I think there was a point at which he looked at, okay, I've got all this stuff that I can't do now, and I don't know what I can do because the only option left for me is to put my best offensive player at risk by playing him at quarterback. And I think he rejected that as, you know, the act of a madman. So I think that's what Kyle Shanahan did. And I'm not blaming him for it because I think it was an insoluble set of problems, one on top of another, that would render any coach paralytic. I just asked the question because I wondered if there was any way to prepare what they had for what they were facing. And I don't think there was.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the Bud Light guest line, Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker himself. Bud Light, by the way, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. And Michael, 49ers fans probably went home and had themselves a couple tall, cold ones after that one last night to drink the pain away. That was a stunning end to an exemplary season, but when it all came crashing down, it came crashing down hard and loud and fast. The minute Brock Purdy was knocked out of that game, the Niners were in a lot of trouble. The minute Josh Johnson fumbled the ball away on a shotgun snap right before the half, that was probably it right there.
Yeah, and it was hard, man, when you see a team put in that kind of work, put in, you know, and to get to where you guys got to, you go through your first string quarterback, the second string quarterback, you land on a third string quarterback that has that kind of run, and then turn around and lose him early in the game. Yeah, that was hard. And I'm gonna tell you something. Even watching that game early on, I thought, wow. I felt like they had, you know, they were exhausted. They exhausted all the means. I remember watching Greenlaw hit somebody and then he was stumbling. I was like, man, it feels like I'm coming through this airport, guys. So
I think
it feels like that these guys have given all they had all season long, and it's starting to come down on them and crash down on them a little bit. So it was difficult to watch because I knew how hard those guys had worked and everything to get to where they are. And to see it work like that or fall out like that in that kind of situation, yeah, that was hard.
Did you see anything in the Eagles that make you change your opinion about anything that they do? I mean, maybe for the better. I mean, maybe you saw something the Eagles did Sunday that they did better than you thought they could do. And if you saw that, how do you think Kansas City would cope with it?
How do I really say that? Now, did I see something that I thought they were better at?
Yeah.
Sunday. The only thing, you know, and we asked the question, yes, that was today. I guess today is Monday. I'm assuming the difference is.
You're in an airport. There are no days.
That was the day when we did first take. And one of the things that we talked about, and one of the things we discussed was like the flight of Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Did they have an easy path? And I was like, no, you don't go eight, don't win eight straight games and say, well, you know, they're not good for the top competition. Then come back and win five straight games after that. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about the competition. The one thing Philly has is the one thing San Fran has that I think puts you in every game, and that's you play a physical brand of football. I don't care what anybody say. I'm taking physical over anything and everything, and Philly plays a physical brand. So that's what I think is going to get them over if they are to win this game against Kansas City.
Michael Irvin in an airport. What airport, by the way? Airports change trips. But, so.
Yeah, I just landed back in DFW.
Oh, okay, back home. Back home.
You're not shooting inside the NFL.
Let me ask you about Josh Johnson. Obviously, you can't have much, you know, hope for the team when a fourth-string quarterback who just signed with the team a few weeks ago goes in. But he's also a 14-year-long NFL vet who's probably taken more bad shotgun center snaps from more practice squad centers than anyone in NFL history. And he just looked, with three delay-a-game penalties, completely unprepared. I mean, I was never expecting him to be spectacular, but serviceable. From a 14-year-long NFL veteran, serviceable should be the bare minimum requirement, and I was stunned by how truly awful he was. He was peeing down his own leg awful all day.
Yeah, and that's a hard spot right there now.
I know it is.
I don't care how long you've been in the league. You popping in an NFC championship game. I mean, whoa, wait a minute. The next step is the Super Bowl. Every kid that ever came from his mother's womb, and we all came from a mother's womb, sat in his front yard and said, I'm wide receiver, I'm about to catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And to realize, to be in that spot and in that game, man, and to think about all the hopes and dreams that are riding on you, all the other 52 dudes are staring at you like, dude, don't mess this up. That's a hard place for a young man to step in and have to play.
It is. It is. But the way I also see it is, too, is here is a guy who has been a perennial, you know, if not backup practice squad guy his entire career, and the spotlight has finally found you. Like, do you want an opportunity to sit and sign your autograph at card shows for the rest of your frickin' life or not, buddy? Like, here is your one chance. It's a big one. It's a big ask. But to be so unprepared for the moment. Again, three delay-a-game penalties. And there's a little bit, Michael, I want to ask you about Kyle Shanahan and his culpability in yesterday's loss. Now, no one here is putting that on Kyle. He loses his quarterback, and your game plan goes straight to hell as soon as that happens. We get it. But didn't you think he needed to be a little bit more, if not ready with that challenge flag on the Devontae Smith catch that wasn't, even throwing it out there without the benefit of replay, just because the others see the other team huddling up so fast, so you think, all right, maybe something ain't right. Let's just burn a timeout. If that, you know, it's right to know what the hell just happened. And then to not be standing right by an official and call a timeout as you're fourth stringer is having trouble even getting the plays into the huddle. Like, could Kyle have been more proactive in helping that day not fall apart?
Yeah, when you see that, those are the things that you start saying, okay, man, maybe, you know, you throw that flag just in case, or you call a timeout, give them some time to try to find out what happened, all those things. But when that thing's going down in real time like that, you know what I mean? You trying to mitigate and make sure, hey, I'm gonna need these time. I'm gonna need this challenge for later on and everything. That's what makes it difficult when they're going through that. Man, listen, I sat there and I gave Philly some credit for having a little signal. You know, when Devontae was sitting throwing the signal, so hold up, let's do this, let's get this. You know, he was throwing that signal. I was like, wow. You know, that's good on them. They got a signal. But then it does make you start saying, man, something's going on. Why don't they throw that challenge? But man, those things are crucial right there in that moment for every team to try to keep as much as they could of those challenges.
Let me ask you to play a roster magician for a minute. Brock Purdy is being examined to see if he's going to need surgery on his elbow. And if he is unable, if the surgery is significant enough that he's unable to play at all next year, what would you recommend the 49ers do at that position?
Well, you're talking about with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance and all that's coming back, what do I recommend they do at the quarterback position?
Yeah.
Well, that's a hard call, man. How you going to put that on me, man? Come on, man. Hey, listen.
You're in the airport. You got nothing else to do.
I guarantee you that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are sitting over there saying, you know, we got some things to discuss. And they really do have some things to discuss to get this back right. Because Brock Purdy did everything. He did everything he could to say and to earn more time, more work. He really did. When you talk about you went down the road, and this man at his floor. That's all I can say. He has to be at his floor because those were his first experiences on the football field. You can't be anywhere near your ceiling. That's something I got to search a little bit more. You know, I know Trey Lance is young, and he's pretty much at his floor too. But boy, I would have to look into that long and hard because of what they started. Like, you get a player that comes on the field and start like he started, that's worthy of giving him more opportunity. And Brock Purdy has certainly earned more opportunity. I don't give a darn about draft capital. I don't care what you spent on who. When you got somebody that's playing like that, you got to continue to search that cabin and see what's in it.
And in the meantime, you might want to give Tom Brady a call. I'm just going to throw that out there, too, because he's going to want to go somewhere that's actually got a chance for him to win. You know, Brady's not playing for gaudy stats anymore. He wants wins, and I don't think there's a team that could offer him more wins than the 49ers. Maybe the Titans. Nah, that would be about it.
Yeah, you know what, now? I don't even know if I'm saying the Titans. Now, I don't know if he wants to deal with a lot of issues Tom Brady dealt with this year. And what he dealt with this year was he dealt with not a lot of him not being himself. A lot of him not being himself. Okay, come on. Well, a couple kids here. I got to get a kid to pick you.
Go right ahead. Yeah. We're streaming right now. We're going to play this back tomorrow, basically, and you do what you got to do.
They never saw me catch one pass. I got to give them a picture, let them tweet it out to all of their friends. Hey, you know, the kids be like, hey, aren't you that guy from the movie The Longest Yard that played a football player? I'm like, no. I'm a real football player that did a movie. I ain't no movie guy that played a football. But they really don't know. And it's funny thing. It's just funny to watch sometimes, you know.
Well, but look at you. Giving back to the people, giving back to the kids who never even watched him play. But that's great players are ambassadors of the game, man, and you're a great ambassador of the game. You truly are, Michael.
So, listen, let me tell y'all something, too. I was so hurt even after that game. It's amazing how emotionally we get caught up in all of this, you know, because I interviewed Debo that day, you know, a couple of days ago. He called me. I was working out. He called me. He said, what's up, bro? What's up, big boy? I say, what's up, man? Why you calling me, man? You know I'm an interview late. So, dude, and the little stuff like that, it just lifts you. You know, you want to be able to share and pour back to these young men. And I felt that for him. I felt that for him after talking to him and knowing how much he really wanted to win that game. I felt bad for him.
I bet you did. It's got to be a tough place to be operating from, to have – you know, the opportunity of your professional life four quarters away from you, and then it's just over. I mean, there's nothing that comes to a screeching halt quite like a football season, right?
Right, like that. Dude, wait. And now, you go through these games. I would say, how many times I told you guys, I think about that play with Deion Sanders in that 9-5 championship game? Every day I think about that play. That dude from Cincy that pushed Patrick Mahomes out.
Yep.
That was crying on the sideline like that, man. After having a great season, crying on the sideline like that, man. Dude, I felt so bad for him. This thing is going to, you know what I mean? It's going to linger. It matters, and I hope he gets some kind of way to make it up and have a great career. Well, yeah, the rest of his life, this thing will linger.
I was about to ask you about that. Like Joseph Osai was clearly broken up afterward, even though his teammates, almost to a man, had his back. How long, just from the outside, do you think that lingers with him? Or does he need to have a great game in similar circumstances to get rid of that? I'm thinking a little bit about Leon Lett, who was a very good player, but he gets stripped short of the end zone by Don Beebe, and that's the thing people remember about him.
Yeah, but getting stripped short of the end zone by Don Beebe, you still get that Super Bowl ring.
Right.
He'd have taken us to 59 from the 52. That would have been a record. But Leon still has that ring. That kid was walking in, and those other kids, were saying, why'd you touch the quarterback? That's what he's going to be remembered with. His teammates, his boys hollering, how could you do that to us? How could you do that to us? You know, and him, that feeling of letting his team down. That's what I dealt with. Like, man, if I would have went up and got that ball, we could have been in a different situation, different place. And I think about it every day. I really felt for him. Watching his interview, man, I wanted to cry. Watching that kid's interview after the kind of season he's had, I just can't mention. I can't pronounce his name. That's why I didn't say it.
Joseph Osai.
But after the kind of after the season he had, that was hard, man. But it just shows you guys what this means to the players on the field to be in that position, man, and to get that shot at another Super Bowl.
Michael Irvin with us here on Damon and Ratto. And earlier, Ray asked you, you know, how you'd go about fixing the 49er quarterback situation. I got an even bigger ask. Michael, how would you go about fixing NFL officiating? And I'm not saying that, you know, that Niners fans got jobbed by officials. But they were penalized 11 times for 81 yards, and that's the most penalized team in this postseason. I mean, you know, they got thrown flags thrown at them. They're like they were wearing Raider uniforms. The second most penalized team this postseason was the Bengals in the AFC title game. They were flagged for 71 yards and 9 different flags. Is it time to do away with all-star crews? Is it time to start developing better officials, paying them more, having an off-season study program for them? I mean, it feels like this league has gotten better about everything. The games are better, the players are better, the coaching's better, the stadiums are better. Everything about the NFL is getting better all the time, except officiating. What can be done?
I'm with you on this. I'm with you on this, and especially at this place. I say even more so now than even before. We should enhance all of these things. I understand there's some things you don't want to go back over and do over, and because of time and the time it takes, that you just, hey, let's keep it moving. You want to get the game in a certain amount of time. But the playoffs, I don't care. We can start changing these rules. You work too hard to get here to lose this game on a bad decision or a bad call by a ref. That makes you no good. I was watching the basketball game, the Lakers and the Celtics, the other night. LeBron James, 105-105, the score. He goes, takes the drive, and clearly Jason Tatum slaps his left hand, and can't get the ball. And clearly it's a foul. Nobody made the call. Right after the game, they all apologize. That's a regular season game. Okay, that mistake. But that mistake like that in a playoff, well, especially in the NFL, where it's one and done, no, dude, that's unacceptable. I'm not putting in 8-9 months of work to get to this one place, and then you miss a call, and it's all over for me. That's unacceptable. And, yeah, something has to be done about that.
Do you have a theory on what must be done first? Is it fixing the rule book so that it's more sensible? Is it figuring out a way to make replay more rational? Is it just training officials better? Do you have any theories other than this is unacceptable?
Well, first of all, the number one theory should be, I don't care about optics and you feeling bad. You should have a crew already examining every call. Have your own personal crew somewhere watching the game and examining every call. When a call is made, if they can see that it wasn't a good call before any coach throws his challenge, they should fix it. But see, they don't want to jump in and fix it, and so they hide these things under, well, that was a judgment call. Come on, man, stop that. That was a bad call. You can put judgment on it if you want, but that was a bad call. Fix the bad call, and let's move on and play the game, especially in the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get a crew. And all playoff games, I'll have you another crew watching the game on TV and watch they get. And you can put, I don't care if you put a camera on every call, whatever, and they're reviewing the calls before. They should. I understand that Kyle Shanahan should have challenged that Smith play. But what's wrong with the right crew, with another crew, seeing it even before he has a chance to challenge and taking that decision out and say, whoa, 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 that was a drop. Let's change it right now. That's what I would like for them to do, too.
Michael, are you leaning any early way on this Super Bowl? I mean, obviously, this isn't your definitive end-all, be-all, take-it-to-the-bank pick, but just looking at, you know, the first few hours of Chiefs v. Eagles, what do you see?
I'm trying to figure which way the Chiefs are going to run this race. You see what I mean? I looked over the schedule of the Eagles. They haven't faced a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. The only game they faced him was that Green Bay Packers game when it was Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers took him to the end. Took him to the end with the team he had. We know what kind of team that was. They were fighting to get in the playoffs later on, and certainly, and then, you know, just didn't make it, fell apart. But and Detroit sent them home. But I was looking at quarterback play because everybody said they had the easier schedule coming into the season. Who have they faced? They haven't fit anybody like Patrick Mahomes, but Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers played him close, so it tells me Patrick Mahomes, with where he is and if his ankle will be better than it was, he should be able to give you some fit with what he does. But I also harken back to 2019 when they lost that Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. What was it? Because they got at and got after Patrick Mahomes. And boy, the Philadelphia Eagles got at and got after Brock Purdy, you know. And if they can get out of Patrick Mahomes like Tampa got after him, then they got a shot at winning this game, especially without a Tyreek Hill. But the one thing Philly got that I say moves across the board, no matter what game you're playing, no matter who you're playing, is they play physical football like San Francisco. And trust me, Kansas City doesn't want to see that kind of physicalness.
One more question about Patrick Mahomes. Because, look, Tom Brady's trophy case alone stacks up against NFL franchises. And, you know, kids think, well, if you didn't win a Super Bowl, you weren't very good at it. Dan Marino is as great as a quarterback that has ever played this game just full stop. There was no one better than Dan Marino. You obviously played with and against the greats. Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Steve Young. Having said all that, is Patrick Mahomes the most tooled up quarterback of all time? Like, I don't, what box hasn't he checked? It used to be, what, pain tolerance. He has checked that box officially now. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a better quarterback than him.
Yeah, and this thing's evolving, you know, it keeps evolving. I mean, when you said about a quarterback, quarterbacking has evolved in such a way. Patrick Mahomes is, and I use this Steph Curry analogy, but Steph Curry, he does all the things that every coach says, no, you know what I'm saying? You can't live like that.
Right.
You would have gray hairs. Your heart, stress, everything will be going off all the days of your life. Only Patrick Mahomes can do that and do it the way he does it. And it's phenomenal. He is playing some of the most phenomenal quarterbacks you've ever seen. And the way he throws this football, he gets it off no matter what. That's what makes him insanely incredible. He gives those receivers he has a 2, 3, and a 4 route. Even after the first route, the first play don't work, you'll get a 2, 3, and a 4 chance because I'm going to buy time. And there's not many people that can buy time like he does and keep his eyes up the field, make plays. Some of those throws he made yesterday was pretty incredible to be throwing off of that one leg. And I got to give kudos to MSV, the MBS, for showing up and saying, not my quarterback. And making the plays he made and going over 100 yards.
In analyzing this game coming up, how much time will you spend as a guy who does this professionally on the difference between the coaches? Does it matter that much come game time, or is it really just about players performing?
No, coaching matters. There's a reason. There's a reason Andy Reid has had 5 AFC championship games in a row in Kansas City. This is after he went to 4 NFC championship games in a row, in four championship games in Philadelphia. That's coaching. Coaching matters. But I got to give Sirianni some credit on how he used influencers, he used motion to keep those linebackers for the 49ers at bay. And as I was watching it, I was saying, I wish Kellen Moore could have done some more of this to help out the run game, like what I'm seeing Sirianni do.
Hey, Kellen Moore is going to be helping out a Charger team from here on out. How about that news?
Yeah, and listen, I'm still mixed emotions on that, you know, because everybody's like, well, we're Kellen Moore. And Mike McCarthy may be calling the plays. Mike McCarthy ain't said he is going to be calling the plays. So, okay, Mike McCarthy, are you just trying to bring one of your other dudes in here? Because I know how the Nolan thing works. Or are you going to call the plays? Don't sit here and tell me you're going to get rid of Kellen Moore, who's put up the number one offense where he had Dak Prescott the last 2 years, putting up 35 points a game, when you don't know for sure if you're making the calls and calling the plays. I'll take it if you're going to call the plays, because you call the plays to get to a Super Bowl. But if you're going to bring in one of your other jamokes that come in here with this Nolan thing that was a disaster when he had our defense playing that Oprah Winfrey defense, where you get 300 yards, you can rush for 300. Hey, you, everybody can rush for 300 yards. You know how Oprah gives everybody a gift in the crowd. Everybody gets a stone. That's the kind of defense we were playing. So, you know, you got to make sure. The first part of that move is Kellen Moore gone. I need to know, see the second part of this move. Are you going to call the plays and make sure you don't bring some other body in here that's out of touch and out of time like you did with Milo?
What's the old saying? Call me whatever you want, but don't call me late for dinner. Michael, whenever we call you, it is phenomenal. I don't know if we're going to talk to you like right before or maybe after the Super Bowl, but I certainly hope we get the chance to talk to you one more time this year.
What do you say?
Oh, yeah, we were breaking up a little bit there. I was just saying, I don't know if we're going to talk to you before or after the Super Bowl or what the deal is, but hopefully we get to talk to you one more time this year to wrap it all up.
Absolutely, man. You know, you guys are family, man. We're going to wrap this thing up. We got to talk about this thing. We got to tell you, are you guys going to be at the Super Bowl?
Well, now that the Niners aren't going, I don't think we are either.
Yeah, that's the sad part. I know. But I'll keep you abreast. I'll be your reporter on this scene.
There you go.
And keep you abreast of what's going on. We family, and I want to play, you know, I'll make sure I keep you in line and in track of what's going on out there.
You're the man, Michael. Thank you so very much.
Always good chatting, guys.
Michael Irvin. He can leave the airport now.
We're going to pay him like we would any stringer, right? Like $100 a day.
Oh, yeah. He's got the Ryan Leong rate.
Yeah. Jesus.
It was just Ryan's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Ryan, if you're listening.
Why would you know that?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. Couple things to wrap up here today. Getting back to the concept of officiating and how you make it better. I don't know how you fix it, but I do think every single team needs to read this tweet by former 95.7 The Game host Guy Haberman, who said, remember, in football, it's the coach's job to officiate the biggest plays. And I believe that. I really do believe that. And I don't think there should be any hesitation in throwing out a challenge flag, whether you've seen it or not, because the amount of scrutiny that you can put on a catch, what is a catch? It's undefined. No one really knows, not even back in New York, not even Mike Peralta. No one knows.
Pereira,
whatever.
Peralta.
Sorry, another wrong guy. But you know what I mean. Like, you take the bull by the horns and shake it, and you never know what's going to come out.
Well, especially in the first half, because first half timeouts don't really matter as much.
Right.
I think that we're obviously talking about the Devontae Smith catch that wasn't a catch. I think coaches tend to overvalue one thing more than anything else, and that's timeouts, in the same way that general managers tend to overvalue draft choices. It's good to have them, but every once in a while, you got to spend one just on a whim. And that's what that would have been. But it would have been a whim that paid off. And does it change the nature of the game? Maybe for a little while. I mean, I still think Philadelphia was better and was going to win. But you don't want to go into the offseason feeling like you left one in the chamber. And I think that's one that Kyle Shanahan will kick himself in the rear end about.
Because No doubt.
He's not so arrogant and sure of himself that he doesn't go back through every game and look to see, what did I miss? What did I not get right?
Well, and the angle that showed the drop was definitive. I mean, there was no question. Not even an Eagle fan would have booed the result of that being overturned once they saw that play.
And the fact is, throwing a flag, if nothing else, buys you time to get another angle. Because, as you said before, Nobody had that angle right away. But right away goes away pretty quickly. If you have more, you know, more time, somebody's got a chance to spot a different angle. And so I think, you know, that's one of those things where, all right, if we lose the timeout, we lose the timeout. We can live with it.
Call the timeout to get your defense together. And while that's happening, maybe you see that and then can, no, I guess you can't call timeout on back-to-back plays. You couldn't say, now we're challenging after our timeout.
No, you stall like hell. But
yeah. By the way, Kyle Shanahan was asked in the press conference why that challenge didn't happen in the first quarter.
Because the replay we saw didn't definitely show that. They actually, we saw one up on the scoreboard. I was going to throw one anyways, just to hope to take the chances. But they showed one up on the scoreboard that didn't have all the angles you guys saw. And that looked like a catch. So we don't want to waste the timeout, which we definitely would have if we didn't see that. But then I heard they got a couple other angles, and you guys end up seeing later that it was not a catch.
After the commercial, they came back from network break, and they even said, we just got this angle. Like, we didn't have this in real time. And from the other angle, it looked like Devontae Smith had made one of the five greatest catches you've ever seen in a playoff game. I mean, it was a spectacular effort.
And one of the three greatest, I'm going to pull one off here. Because he knew more than anybody else that, hey, they're going to take this away unless I do something. It's an incredibly bright play by him. And that probably has been lost in all this discussion, but he basically got them a touchdown because of it.
He did.
And it was a touchdown that made a difference.
It certainly was. It certainly was brutal. Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about just wrapping up the year and the love he's got for the guys in that locker room.
I got more love for these guys than I possibly could have, and they got it for each other. I was real proud of how they fought out there. Our guys didn't shy away from anything. Thought they got dealt a pretty tough card today, or a tough hand. You know, I just hurt for those guys. I mean, we felt really good about this game, and it was a tough one, some tough circumstances, and we should have done a few things better, but I'm really proud of the group in there and excited to look forward to talking to some of them on the plane.
All those had to have been sullen conversations, though. That's rough. It's a roughest. It's as again, if I sat down to create the most painful loss available, I don't even know if my warped mind would have come up with that. That was just savagery. It was brutal, brutal way to go out and lose that game. And we'll be, I'm sure, talking about it throughout the week. We got a little bit more. We're going to get interrupted, though, on what, Wednesday and Thursday this week with some Warriors basketball. And we got Warriors and Oklahoma City Thunder up tonight. Warriors only have, how about this, right? All year long, they only have two winning streaks of three or more games this entire year. Tonight's an opportunity to have a three-game winning streak. Don't sneeze at that when you hardly have taken advantage of it. So it's a win that they need tonight in their final 35 games of the year. And we're going to be judging them only on their final 35 games of the year. They really want to be taken for all of their gravitas as a franchise and say, when it comes time and the chips are down, we will play. Okay, well, since you're not going to choose that moment in time and whether it lies in the season, I'm going to do it. The final 35 games of the year are the important ones. They're 2-0 in their final 35 games of the year. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Raptors on Friday night. We said that they needed to go at least 14-4 in their final 17 home games. And they have to at least go 5-12 in their final 17 road games. Tonight is the first opportunity to pick up a road win in the final stretch of 35 games. And even if that is the record and they come in at 19-16.
I hear you doing math in your head.
Yeah, you can hear it, right? It's terrible. Sounds awful. But if they come in 19-16, they're still 42-40 on the air. So they should even be better than my expectations.
And quite frankly, 42-40 will get them sixth. That's how relentlessly mediocre the Western Conference has been this year.
Unless everybody's about to collectively step on the gas pedal and start playing some better basketball.
Well, a lot of them play each other, so that's probably not going to happen mathematically.
A couple more things just to get into. Thought this was sort of interesting about the Super Bowl preview that is in front of us. Saw this from Josh Dubow. This is going to be the seventh Super Bowl since the merger where the first team All-Pro QB, Mahomes, is facing the second team All-Pro QB in Jalen Hurts. We had that in 2016 with Matt Ryan and Tom Brady, in 2009 with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, in 91 with Jim Kelly and Mark Rippon, in 84 with Dan Marino and Joe Montana, in 81 with Ken Anderson and Joe Montana, and 71 with Bob Greasy and Roger Staubach. What's fascinating about this, Ray, is that the second team QB is 6-0 when facing the first team QB in the Super Bowl. It's kind of interesting, right?
Well, I don't think it's an indication that that's how you have to bet.
There you go. We'll talk more about that as the week goes along. We got much more as the week goes along, but we're going to get you out to Oklahoma City right now. Warriors basketball about to tip off. Tim Roy and company are next. Meanwhile, for everyone here on that side of the glass and on this side of the glass, my name's Damon, reminding you that sports don't build character. They reveal it. I'll stall for you just a minute more, Grandy, because you made the O face. And now that I got this microphone stiff, look at that. That microphone, is it a good, what's that, like a 55-degree angle? That's like a good hard-on angle right there, since we were talking about mic dicks earlier in the stream.
You're the worst.
No, come on, no, turn.
The worst.
There you go.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
55-degree angle, honey. Ready to go.
Your wife should leave you now.
Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
They conceal it.
And like that, he's gone.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Michael Irvin, he can leave the airport now.
We're going to pay him like we would any stringer, right? Like $100 a day.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. He's got the Ryan Leong rate.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
It was just Ryan's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Ryan, if you're listening.
Why would you know that?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. Couple things to wrap up here today. Getting back to the concept of officiating and how you make it better. I don't know how you fix it, but I do think every single team needs to read this tweet by former 95.7 The Game host Guy Haberman, who said, remember, in football, it's the coach's job to officiate the biggest plays. And I believe that. I really do believe that. And I don't think there should be any hesitation in throwing out a challenge flag, whether you've seen it or not, because the amount of scrutiny that you can put on a catch, what is a catch? It's undefined. No one really knows, not even back in New York, not even Mike Peralta. No one knows.
Pereira,
whatever.
Peralta.
Sorry, another wrong guy. But you know what I mean. Like, you take the bull by the horns and shake it, and you never know what's going to come out.
Well, especially in the first half, because first half timeouts don't really matter as much.
Right.
I think that we're obviously talking about the Devontae Smith catch that wasn't a catch. I think coaches tend to overvalue one thing more than anything else, and that's timeouts, in the same way that general managers tend to overvalue draft choices. It's good to have them, but every once in a while you got to spend one just on a whim. And that's what that would have been. But it would have been a whim that paid off. And does it change the nature of the game? Maybe for a little while. I mean, I still think Philadelphia was better and was going to win. But you don't want to go into the offseason feeling like you left one in the chamber. And I think that's one that Kyle Shanahan will kick himself in the rear end about.
Because No doubt.
He's not so arrogant and sure of himself that he doesn't go back through every game and look to see, what did I miss? What did I not get right?
Well, and the angle that showed the drop was definitive. I mean, there was no question. Not even an Eagle fan would have booed the result of that being overturned once they saw that play.
And the fact is, throwing a flag, if nothing else, buys you time to get another angle. Because, as you said before, nobody had that angle right away. But right away goes away pretty quickly. If you have more, you know, more time, somebody's got a chance to spot a different angle. And so I think, you know, that's one of those things where, all right, if we lose the timeout, we lose the timeout. We can live with it.
Call the timeout to get your defense together. And while that's happening, maybe you see that and then can, no, I guess you can't call timeout on back-to-back plays. You couldn't say, now we're challenging after our timeout.
No, you stall like hell. But
yeah. By the way, Kyle Shanahan was asked in the press conference why that challenge didn't happen in the first quarter.
Because the replay we saw didn't definitely show that. They actually, we saw one up on the scoreboard. I was going to throw one anyways, just to hope to take the chances. But they showed one up on the scoreboard that didn't have all the angles you guys saw. And that looked like a catch. So we don't want to waste the timeout, which we definitely would have if we didn't see that. But then I heard they got a couple other angles, and you guys end up seeing later that it was not a catch.
After the commercial, they came back from network break, and they even said, we just got this angle. Like, we didn't have this in real time. And from the other angle, it looked like Devontae Smith had made one of the five greatest catches you've ever seen in a playoff game. I mean, it was a spectacular effort.
And one of the three greatest, I'm going to pull one off here. Because he knew more than anybody else that, hey, they're going to take this away unless I do something. It's an incredibly bright play by him. And that probably has been lost in all this discussion, but he basically got them a touchdown because of it.
He did.
And it was a touchdown that made a difference.
It certainly was. It certainly was brutal. Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about just wrapping up the year and the love he's got for the guys in that locker room.
I got more love for these guys than I possibly could have, and they got it for each other. I was real proud of how they fought out there. Our guys didn't shy away from anything. Thought they got dealt a pretty tough card today, or a tough hand. You know, I just hurt for those guys. I mean, we felt really good about this game, and it was a tough one, some tough circumstances, and we should have done a few things better, but I'm really proud of the group in there and excited to look forward to talking to some of them on the plane.
All those had to have been sullen conversations, though. That's rough. It's a roughest. It's as again, if I sat down to create the most painful loss available, I don't even know if my warped mind would have come up with that. That was just savagery. It was brutal, brutal way to go out and lose that game. And we'll be, I'm sure, talking about it throughout the week. We got a little bit more. We're going to get interrupted, though, on what, Wednesday and Thursday this week with some Warriors basketball. And we got Warriors and Oklahoma City Thunder up tonight. Warriors only have, how about this, right? All year long, they only have two winning streaks of three or more games this entire year. Tonight's an opportunity to have a three-game winning streak. Don't sneeze at that when you hardly have taken advantage of it. So it's a win that they need tonight in their final 35 games of the year. And we're going to be judging them only on their final 35 games of the year. They really want to be taken for all of their gravitas as a franchise and say, when it comes time and the chips are down, we will play. Okay, well, since you're not going to choose that moment in time and whether it lies in the season, I'm going to do it. The final 35 games of the year are the important ones. They're 2-0 in their final 35 games of the year. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Raptors on Friday night. We said that they needed to go at least 14-4 in their final 17 home games. And they have to at least go 5-12 in their final 17 road games. Tonight is the first opportunity to pick up a road win in the final stretch of 35 games. And even if that is the record and they come in at 19-16.
I hear you doing math in your head.
Yeah, you can hear it, right? It's terrible. Sounds awful. But if they come in 19-16, they're still 42-40 on the year. So they should even be better than my expectations.
And quite frankly, 42-40 will get them sixth. That's how relentlessly mediocre the Western Conference has been this year.
Unless everybody's about to collectively step on the gas pedal and start playing some better basketball.
Well, a lot of them play each other, so that's probably not going to happen mathematically.
A couple more things just to get into. Thought this was sort of interesting about the Super Bowl preview that is in front of us. Saw this from Josh Dubow. This is going to be the seventh Super Bowl since the merger where the first team All-Pro QB, Mahomes, is facing the second team All-Pro QB in Jalen Hurts. We had that in 2016 with Matt Ryan and Tom Brady, in 2009 with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, in 91 with Jim Kelly and Mark Rippon, in 84 with Dan Marino and Joe Montana, in 81 with Ken Anderson and Joe Montana, and 71 with Bob Greasy and Roger Staubach. What's fascinating about this, Ray, is that the second team QB is 6-0 when facing the first team QB in the Super Bowl. It's kind of interesting, right?
Well, I don't think it's an indication that that's how you have to bet.
There you go. We'll talk more about that as the week goes along. We got much more as the week goes along, but we're going to get you out to Oklahoma City right now. Warriors basketball about to tip off. Tim Roy and company are next. Meanwhile, for everyone here on that side of the glass and on this side of the glass, my name's Damon, reminding you that sports don't build character. They reveal it. I'll stall for you just a minute more, Grandy, because you made the O face. And now that I got this microphone stiff, look at that. That microphone, is it a good, what's that, like a 55-degree angle? That's like a good hard-on angle right there, since we were talking about mic dicks earlier in the stream.
You're the worst.
No, oh, come on, no, turn.
The worst.
There you go.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
55-degree angle, honey. Ready to go.
Your wife should leave you now.
Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
They conceal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.